And we're finishing our featuring of the artists from the Strangers Collective and the people we've interviewed so far. I think there's more than we've had on the air, but yesterday and today, a lot of different artists on the air. And we're going to finish up with Austin Eichelberger and Shell Thompson. Austin is a writer. Shell is an artist. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Now, let's talk a little bit about you and your work, Austin. You are not only a writer, but also an editor and a teacher. Mm-hmm. How did you find yourself in Santa Fe? What are you working on?
So I found myself in Santa Fe. I went to college in Virginia, taught in Virginia for a little while, and then I woke up one day and said, I have to get out. And I was 27 then. I'm 30 now.
What was that all about? Do you know?
I think part of it relates back to being gay and some of the politics in Virginia, especially at that point. Regulation of women's bodies in a way that it had not been done before in that state and things like that. And so I think part of it was the social attitude. Another part was I felt like I just wasn't going anywhere. I felt like I just wasn't getting anything done. I didn't feel that forward motion I really craved. And I have an older brother, David, who lived out here about a decade ago. And I started speaking to him and said, you know, I'm thinking about moving out west. And he went, if you go anywhere, go to Santa Fe. He was like, even if you don't like it, you can leave after a year, but go to Santa Fe. And I've been here ever since.
And the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so you started teaching English.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the university level. I first taught at the same school where I went. Now I teach at SFCC, SFUAD, and IAIA here in town.
And you are also writing and contributing to collectives like this one. Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about your work. You have a really beautiful book that's part of this exhibition, which is kind of an artwork. It's a work of your writing, and it's kind of a maybe grief tribute.
It is. And I think the fact that it is a grief tribute kind of contributes to the multimedium, multi-genre aspects of the book, because I've been experiencing this grief in a very interesting way, in a very strange sort of way.
You lost your dad.
In December, yeah. And it was after 2 years of illness, so we had sort of prepared for it. But yeah, it's been very strange. I usually stick to fiction pretty clearly. And ever since he's died, I've been writing much more poetry, much more nonfiction, and I've been doing much more photography. I've sort of been moving away from words at times and then coming back to them. But I normally love to experiment anyway. A lot of my work is really short or fragmented. I love breaking things up. I love sort of messing with the reader and seeing what I can get away with. And so this has been sort of an interesting natural extension of that, as I just see the catalyst very clearly and the effects that it's having on my craft.
When you write about grief, when you write about somebody who's died, what is that like? What is the process like? And how does it end up? Is it for you kind of a eulogy?
Different pieces for me were sort of operating differently. For myself, my process takes a lot of rumination at first. I really just have to think about those things, let them stew for a while before I sit down to do the actual writing. I think I get self-conscious even with myself and don't want to take down certain barriers if I just sit down right away and try to write it. So I really have to sort of let myself get comfortable and think about it for a while and then go into it. I don't know. It's been a very interesting process. It's been very different for me. I'm very used to sort of clean fiction writing. I sort of hear a voice or see an image and sit down and start working with it. And with these, it's been much more like when I try and control these narratives, they more shut down. And when
really?
I get out of their way, they start moving again. Yeah, it's been really fascinating. I wrestled with a poem the other day for 5 hours. And for the first four, I kept trying to make it go a certain way. And I finally copied and pasted it, put it in a blank document and went, let me just let it do what it wants to do. And all of a sudden it fleshed out in that last hour and went somewhere I really loved. So, and it's in the zine now. So
very interesting. Yeah. I ask you this partly because of my own experience of dealing with my own mm-hmm. father's death mm-hmm. when I was younger. And that is that, I mean, first of all, it's a long process. Grieving mm-hmm. is a long process, and it sometimes takes years, and sometimes it just comes back when you least expected it. But there is something in the process of writing that I don't know exactly what that is, but you transform your relationship to that person and to your emotions about that person.
I think a lot of that is, I'm not going to be able to remember who said it. I believe it was Mark Twain who said, "How will I know what I think if I don't write it down?"
Right.
And that's sort of how I know that I get to know myself much better through my writing and get to sort of recognize my emotions and my thoughts much better and motivations for things through my writing. And so I know that's been part of the great sort of catharsis of this, is sort of getting to know my father better by getting to know how I felt about him better. Yeah, it's been very interesting. It's very strange how writing sort of through grief changes that relationship, like you say, how it sort of alters the way we look back on that person. It's really fascinating. I've noticed I've been drawing connections that I hadn't before, where I've been connecting experiences and going, I never put those two side by side, but when I do, they fit perfectly. There they are.
And when you have a book like this, is it something that you, I mean, you have this artwork here. Your book is an artwork. It's printed pages, but it's also like the cover and some of the pieces inside are like collage that you cut out, like pieces of metal and things like that. Are these for sale? Are these things that you're sharing with the, putting out into the world?
Yeah, they'll be for sale at the show at Narrows.
Yeah,
with the other zines.
Have you shared them with your family?
I haven't. I was thinking about that just today. I went, you know, this is fascinating. I'm totally giving this part of myself over to people I don't even know who will come into the show, and I haven't shown it to my family yet.
Do you know why?
I haven't. I'm not sure. I think I'm waiting just a little bit because I come from sort of a big family, and everybody is still sort of reeling. And I think I haven't wanted to press it too hard with them. I think I've wanted to let them sort of take their time with it, too. Partially because I feel like writing this zine has sort of sped up my grieving process. It sort of put it all on the fast track in a way that I didn't expect it to. I think just because it put me face to face with some of these things. And I had to talk about them with myself. And so I did. You know what I mean? But yeah. Great question. I was wondering if you would ask that because I've been going, ooh, maybe I need to show them before I put it out there. But I don't know. I don't know. My dad would have said, put it in the show.
He would have.
Yeah. He would have said, they'll see it.
do you come from an artistic writer or whatever family?
I come from a very creative family, but few people in my family do art. My older brother, David, the one who lived in Santa Fe, he and I are the primary artists in the family, and our partners, and da-da-da-da. But, yeah, a very creative family, but they're more like science creative. They're more innovative thinkers, sort of how they view themselves, rather than creative thinkers. But they're very creative. They're all creative. My dad had a great imagination, though. He was sort of the seat of creativity in the house. So,
very interesting. Austin Eichelberger. Let's turn to Shel Thompson. You are an artist, and you work in landscape, animals, birds.
I did for this show. Most of the time, I've actually worked with portraits and abstract. This show is actually pretty strongly out of my comfort zone because I was hitting a huge artist's block. Because I've worked with portraits and abstract for so long, and these really thick, rich textures, that it was starting to feel like a crutch, like I was starting to get stuck in my own kind of modes of creating. And so I really, really went the opposite direction with these pieces. But that the solitude that I usually work with and the emotions, I think, are still kind of the same. They still come out that way to me.
When you say the solitude that you work with, what do you mean?
I don't know. In both composition and mood and subject, I've always worked with just these solemn, solitary kinds of scenes and moods, even in the abstract. But I know that it's funny that that we're kind of talking about parents here because just recently, although these works won't be in this show, I've been thinking a lot about like mother-daughter relationships, and that's something that at home in my own studio I'm starting to work with, and that's been a whole new kind of place because I've never worked with interpersonal like relationships and I guess just relationships in my work before.
Yeah. So when you say, okay, I'm sort of thinking about mother-daughter relationships, how does that translate into your work as a painter, as a person who's like drawing, making images? Are you making images of, for example, self and mother? I mean, is it that direct?
Yeah, it's one of the pieces that I'm working on now has like a daughter curled up in the lap of her mother in a room. And there's going to be just these kind of signs of decay all around the room because, you know, I've drawn from a lot of personal experiences of a pretty rough time growing up. And for me, art and recovery have always been completely interlaced. Like, they are absolutely the same thing for me. And eventually I'd hope for my work to, to help other people with who've experienced kind of the same, at least similar things to me, like similar lack of love at home and lack of closeness and the feeling of loss of these types of relationships. Because I feel like there's only a few narratives that are really talked about with parents and children. And, there are some where there's just this lack of love kind of in the home that's, I guess it's not, you know, it's not that it's never shown or never talked about, but something that I feel like I can show a really specific view of that I think there are people that might resonate with.
Which is a different narrative from the happy family narrative, but also a different narrative from the abuse narrative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's something in the middle there that that needs to be touched on. You know, these people that grow up with families that, you know, that aren't abusing them, that aren't, you know, like horrible things happening, but these daughters and sons that just grow up feeling empty and they don't really know why.
You, before we went on the air, were talking about how art and mental health were kind of the same thing for you. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I've been working with art since I was in like sixth grade, so I guess like 12. And you know, I came out of middle school with I think around 150 paintings, and a similar amount out of high school. And for me, that was a really, really tumultuous time. I do have a mentally ill mother myself, growing up with that and with a family that has just, I don't know, a lot of people with a lot of really serious issues that just went completely unnoticed in themselves. I've grown out of the narrative of my own suffering from growing up with, you know, with all of this turmoil and with all of these things going on and with all of these very damaged people, and into the narrative of a line of people who have all experienced, like, you know, types of abuse and types of neglect and lovelessness growing up. And how there's just generations of this that go back in both sides of my family.
Yeah. Do you feel like, okay, it stops here?
That's what I'm hoping. Partially because I've always, for whatever reason, I've always had a very strong ability to look critically at myself and see how I was absorbing behaviors of my parents that were, like, harmful to other people. And I've always had a big, a really strong ability to take that out of myself, you know, to want to not hurt other people the way that I was, you know.
Do you feel like you'll have children?
That's been a big question, because I, you know, there is a little bit of doubt having grown up that way. Like, how do I know how to give love, like unconditional love to a kid when I never experienced that? And I think that's a big question for a lot of people who go through that kind of childhood. And I think it can be done. My oldest brother actually has done a great job with his kids, and he's a huge inspiration to me. And even my dad, there was a lot of violence in my dad's childhood, and that led to his father being shot and his brother committing suicide.
Good heavens.
Yeah, and he and his sister both were abused pretty badly by his dad. But he never struck me or my brothers. He was distant, but he was never cruel. Like, he didn't really know how to give, like, deep, unconditional love to children, but, you know, he wasn't cruel or abusive or violent.
And probably from his perspective, what he was able to give was huge in comparison to what he came up with.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I don't know, I want to explore all these family dynamics in my work. And I don't know, I just hope that there's some point that I can come to, that I can offer solace to people who have been through that kind of just really hopeless growing up, that that they can, you know, rise out of what they were shown, and that they can you know, give this type of love that they haven't seen and they haven't experienced, and still express it freely, you know, as they escape their situations.
Shel Thompson is an artist. Austin Eichelberger is a writer. Both members of the Strangers Collective, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And once again, the Strangers Collective is on the web at strangersartcollective.com. Their exhibition, Narrows, opens this Friday from 5 to 8 at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center Gallery.